Hey everyone, how's it going? Welcome back to the XYZ Experiment Podcast. I am Luke, your Gen Z. Hello. And I'm joined today with Fee, our Gen X, and Dash, our Gen Y. I'm back in the studio physically, which is very exciting. It's really nice being here. I just walked in again. I was like, man, this place is so nice. I love it. Anyways, I digress. Guys, what I wanted to talk to you about today is I'm now coming back and forth from Hobart to Melbourne in kind of the lead up to Christmas and end of year festivities. And I was kind of thinking about this idea of end of year and, you know, time flying and it, you know, this idea of, wow, we're already in kind of the last final months of the year. But at the same time, when I think back to January of this year, it feels like it's been more than a year for me. Mm. It's this weird kind of paradox where I feel like time's gone by so quickly, but because of how many kind of new and exciting experiences I've had recently, they've just kind of been encoded into my brain in a way where I'm kind of like, this, it's stretched this year. And I kind of want to know, just generally speaking, in terms of the passage of time, have you guys found that it's gotten quicker or slower in, like, you know, the last couple of years or this year in particular? And what are your kind of your reflections on that?
Well, actually, just to go back to what you were saying, so at the start of this year, when you were starting in January, were you feeling like the year was like looking like a lot of time ahead of you and now looking back, it's gone fast? Or did you feel like the year was looking like it was going to be really full and was going to go fast?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think looking forward to the year, I was like, wow, a lot of things are going to change. A lot of things are going to happen. This is going to be a big year.
Yeah.
And it has felt like that when I think back to all of the milestones that I've hit, you know, moving into state, all the, you know, the coursework that's come with that, all of the new friends and new experiences. It feels like it's been a long period. But at the same time, I just feel like it's gone so quickly.
Mm.
I feel like the days are, like, the best way to put it is, I guess the days are long, but the weeks are really short.
Yeah.
Because I felt like last year when I was just working, it was always quick. Everything was quick.
Oh.
And I wonder if that was, there was like an automatic element to that where, because I was kind of doing the same thing over and over again, my brain wasn't kind of as fixated on things because things weren't as novel.
Yeah.
And so it was just like every day just crunching, days over, next day. But now that there's been more things to kind of encode and think about and look back at, and they're just exciting generally, it's made the year seem a lot more expansive, I guess.
So the difference between it feeling like Groundhog Day versus an adventure each day.
Yeah, exactly. I think there's like this new novelty, which has been really kind of exciting to see, because I was kind of worried about, like, I don't know, I had this idea in my head that as you get older, time just goes by quicker. And even though I would say I still feel like time's going by pretty quickly, I've realized that, like, it can go quickly, but you still fill it up, like, if you're actually a bit more deliberate and purposeful in what you're doing.
I mourn time. I actually, I'm just really been thinking about it as you're talking, that I really mourn the passing of time. And I don't know whether it's a realization of I'm past my 50% of life, you know, well and truly. And I often think about, was that a good day? Was that worth my time? Like, I do think a lot about what is my time worth now. It's a really strange sensation that I'm having.
Mm.
And it really, this year, I blame Stephen Bartlett because I went and saw him speak and he talked about how many days you have left if you work out. That was a bit of a shock for me. And so I will often, like, I was only thinking about it, you know, 2 days ago, and thinking it was a Friday and I had the day off and I had the day with my dog, which I thought, great, I've got a dog day. And then at the end of the day, I actually thought, have the dog and I had a good day? And I decided we had, because we'd gone to the park for almost 2 hours and we'd watched people and we'd met other dogs and we'd, like, I really do think about the importance of the time that I've got left and what I should be doing with it. That really does go on my head quite a lot.
But you said what you should be doing with it.
Yeah.
So you obviously have a criteria of should with your time.
Yeah. I just, to be on this, to, for us to actually be created and be living, the stats of that is crazy. Like, it's just such a random thing that you have this ability to be alive. And when you're dead, you're dead. And who knows what comes after that. But I just don't want to waste that opportunity. Like, what an incredible opportunity to be alive. And so I want to, I've got to this point where I just want to make sure I enjoy every day of it. And so sometimes it can make me resentful about working or doing things I don't want to do, when I think maybe I should be just a citizen of the world and just be travelling and doing different things and just learning more about the world, rather than worrying about, do I own a house, do I own a car, you know, all that sort of stuff. It really makes me think quite a lot about what am I doing with my time. And then I might mourn it a little bit, like I get to the end of this year and I'm thinking, I didn't do any travel this year. Like, why? Wow. And what if I can't travel in the next 10 years? What if my health doesn't allow me, or my age doesn't allow me, or I can't get travel insurance anymore? Wow, okay, I miss that. And then you start to think about things like with time. I now realise there's countries that I will never see, I'll never visit, and there's things I'll never get to do. Yeah, it's a really interesting thing with time for me at the moment.
When do you feel like that switched into that mode of thinking?
I think in my 50s it did, yeah. And as I became more aware of my mortality, that it did switch. It's not something I definitely thought about through my 40s and things like that. And maybe because this year I haven't worked as much, I've had way too much time to think about things and time and things like that. Because it's so easy. I'm not saying you have, like I'm not saying you shouldn't have downtime. You definitely should, because that's an important use of time as well. But I do think that it's important to, I mean, there's this saying, and I think it's Benjamin Franklin who said it, and you would have heard me say this before, Dash, in that most people are dead, they just don't realise it yet. Mm. And literally that means you're just sitting in front of the TV all day and just not doing much. And so I do think about that quite a lot, about I don't want to be that person that's just don't realise yet that I'm just marching towards my death by doing nothing. Does that make sense? I feel like I've gone deeply philosophical, sorry.
No, and I do relate to that putting life on review philosophy as well, because I think that for my generation, just bringing it back to that, there is this pressure to essentially commodify every experience. Mm. So it's not that you can really do things that are just to be experienced, it's that they need to be turned into some form of content or something that you can then, like some artifact that you can leave behind essentially.
Okay.
I wanted to ask you, when you were talking about kind of reflecting and thinking this year, I didn't do X, Y, and Z. Do you take time as well? And this is, I'm saying this as if I do it, which I don't actually do as much. But I was just thinking about, you know, I haven't been on the podcast. I've been quite busy with school for the last little while, but still reflecting on, you know, oh, actually, but I have probably done quite a few episodes, even though I have been over, you know, interstate doing other things. Do you ever take time during that practice, instead of just thinking about all the things that you weren't able to do, kind of reflecting on what you did do and how it makes sense that you didn't have time for those other things as well?
Mm, good question. I do. I definitely do. And I think about how, well, if you take the podcast, for example, like I really love that we've put out so many episodes this year. That's been fantastic. And I feel like that's a really good use of my time. Not only that the information that we get out and the people that we meet, but also for myself, my own entertainment, or what's the other word for it, that it's fulfilling, the fulfillingness of it. I think as you get older, you want, well, I want, I could only talk about my own experience, I want life to be fulfilling and meaningful for me, but I don't need to leave a legacy. Does that make sense?
Mm. So it's just fulfilling in the day-to-day, end of the day, it feels like you did something.
Yeah, but I don't need to leave a legacy. I don't need to. In fact, this year is the year I've really gone off social media. I don't do hardly anything anymore. And I actually don't want to. And I don't need to tell people that I'm doing it. But I need to tell myself that I'm doing it, if that makes sense. I need to make sure that that's a good use of my time. But I don't need to share that with anybody anymore. It's like I've got nothing left to prove but to myself.
That's really interesting, because I still feel like a concern of mine, or something that I'm thinking about whenever I'm working, is about this idea of leaving a legacy behind.
Yeah.
Is that something that you felt like you kind of transitioned out of, that kind of mentality, that didn't become as, I guess, prominent a value?
I would almost like to make the world a better place, but nobody needs to know about it.
Wow.
I don't need any recognition of it. But I definitely want to leave things in a better place and help people. And some of my proudest moments are people who've been employed by me, and they've become exceptional people. And I know that's through their contact with me, and I feel really proud of that. But I don't need anyone else to know that. Do you know what I mean? I don't need that. And maybe that's the difference in the generations. I'm not sure what it is, why I feel that way. But, yeah, so that's just with the passing of time, I think deeply about that. What about you, Dash?
Well, just on that point, I do think that young people in particular have a concept of wanting to leave their mark or leave a legacy. And I wonder, as we grow older, we realise actually you're not going to really be remembered. And legacies change. You know, things that were important in my 20s or were, you know, fundamental to life and the way we do things no longer exist. So, like, things that you might think, oh, that was a legacy, people move on or society moves on. And so I think it's kind of, it's an interesting thing, but I think that perspective comes as you get older and you see things change and evolve and you think, oh, okay, legacy leaving. But as you say, there's ways of leaving the world a better place or people in a better space or whatever it might be. But I was just listening on my morning walk today to the podcast with Glennon Doyle, We Can Do Hard Things, and they had Trisha Hersey on. It was actually a really, really good episode because she, coming back to what you were saying, was talking about capitalism and how it's very easy to become a slave to capitalism and to kind of say we have to be producing, we have to be productive, we have to be doing this, we have to be doing that. And then she was like, but capitalism doesn't give back to you. Capitalism makes you want to do more and makes and demands more of you, but it won't give back to you. And so to actually have a really strong boundary around yourself and what's important to you and rest. And she started this thing called nap ministries, like taking a nap every day and saying no to different things and scheduling her world around the importance of rest and the importance of kind of that recharge. And I thought, wow, that's like so counter intuitive in our day where it's like hustle culture and gig culture and having multiple jobs and all of that kind of stuff. So I thought that was really interesting. But my experience with time has evolved a lot. And I was such an annoying child in school holidays because I like seriously remember crying in school holidays because I was bored.
Seriously?
Yeah, I was so bored.
Were you were allowed out of the house? Like, were you allowed? Like, I could never think of being bored as a child myself.
No,
that just seems.
I was allowed out of the house, and I was allowed to play, like, have play dates with people, and all of that kind of stuff. But I think the way my mind works, it does need quite a lot of stimulation or things to be doing. And I'd read a lot. But I would just get really fidgety. I had a very fidgety energy around me, just needing to get things done. Whereas in now, I would say I'm never bored. I'm never bored. And even though sometimes my days kind of look the same, I don't find them boring days, but I do feel like time is going so quickly. I just feel like I never get through everything I want to achieve.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to work out, is it because I have unrealistic expectations of what to achieve, or is it because time is not stretching?
Yes.
Or is it because as well you're in academia?
Yeah. I mean, I think academics are ridiculous, but I think it's to other industries as well. Like I have, at the start of this year, I had 17 papers I was meant to write.
17?
17.
It's more than one a month.
Yes. The ones, I'm not leading all of them, by the way, but I think I still probably have 13 of those 17 to write.
Plus you'd be doing presentations and all that sort of thing as well.
Yes, yeah. I didn't really get around to paper writing as much as I wanted to this year. But yeah, so I just, the other things filled that time and I was dragged into other things that I hadn't, that I gave time to that I probably shouldn't have.
Like what?
It was kind of like what we're talking about in our episode around saying no, like other people's work.
Yes.
So Richard Osman does talk about this whole thing of people creating chaos when they're trying to hide.
Yeah.
And I feel like, and that takes time, right? So I feel like I got sucked into chaos this year.
Yeah.
And other people's chaos and other people's dramas. And sometimes it was necessary. But I was like, wow, that took a lot of my time to manage that chaos when that chaos didn't need to be there. Like, why was there chaos? Yeah. And often it's because people were hiding, I think.
I'm a disruptor
and I'm not going to do the things that I was meant to be doing, and then that causes chaos, and particularly when you're working in teams and you're working across teams and all of that kind of stuff, that can become very tricky. So I feel like time went quickly for me because it was chaos.
How, like, you're just talking about being bored as a child, that you would cry.
Yeah.
Why do you think you don't get bored nowadays? Because we were talking off mic about, we think it's because we've got mobile phones, like little computers in our pockets nowadays, and you can jump from one thing to the next. Would that be true of you?
No, I think it is because, and this is the other thing this Trisha Hershey talked about, is she calls it trickster energy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's because I can do energy shifts. It's not always to social media, but for example, she said, if you think you're a workaholic, which I know I'm a workaholic, we've all talked about the fact I'm a workaholic, it's to have something else that you love that you can give energy to, right? So having the podcast is something I love that I can give energy to, which isn't social media or anything like that. So then I can divert my energy to that. The dog at the moment won't, for some reason, poop on her pee thing on the balcony. So it has to be walked twice a day.
Mm-hmm.
So that takes up my time. Has to be walked in the morning and it has to be walked in the evening so she can poop.
Yeah.
Sorry for the too much information to our listeners. And so I've deliberately, I'll either listen to music or I'll listen to a podcast, but I won't multitask too much, or I'll talk to someone on the phone when I'm doing that. But otherwise, I will just be in silence and I'll just, Pete Uncle and I will have conversations as we walk. They're not long walks, but like I feel like there's, my life is full. Like my life, my time is full. And I don't have time to get bored.
And is it that what you're actually doing? Because as we were just talking about there with chaos, it's not even just about if it's full or not. It's about like almost the quality and the contentedness you get from it. Do you feel as though it's like all like different parts of a puzzle that are basically put together?
Well, look, I didn't enjoy the chaos, can I just say. The chaos time suck was not a fun time. And there were also tears about that. So that was like the boredom tears, and the flip side was, I don't have time for this crap tears. Mm. Like, this is not fair. This is really not fair that I'm spending this much time kind of trying to solve the chaos when I was like, I don't feel like that's my job.
Mm.
And or like, yeah, the mental load of different things. So tears can come from that too. But I do think overall having autonomy over my time has made a huge difference. I think when I was a child, you don't have autonomy over your time.
No.
You have to do what your parents kind of give you the space to allow. Like dinner is at a particular time. You have to go to your auntie's house. You have to go do this. You have to do that. Whereas in now I get to, for the most part, choose.
Can I ask a question back to you, Luke, about, you know, this year went really fast, but then you felt time stretched as well. Do you think you can create time?
Definitely.
Yeah.
And I think time can be created, as I said, by actually doing the things that are really important to you. Not to say that what I was doing last year wasn't important to me, but it felt as though it was at this really kind of low threshold of being enjoyable and rewarding and a good use of time.
Mm.
Whereas now I feel as though what I'm doing is a little bit more kind of aligned with my values and what's important to me as well.
But also, do you feel like what you're doing this year is your passion?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's why time is stretching.
And I think as well, when you're doing things that you're passionate about,
yeah,
it then means you've got more energy afterwards. Like even when I'm like on placement on like long clinic days, at least what I found is that now that I've been kind of really engaged in my passion, and there's been an alignment as well. It's not as if I'm doing 10 different things where one is passion based, one is work based, one is just admin I have to do. It's all kind of a little bit more streamlined.
Mm-hmm.
It means that I'm just feeling more energized throughout the day, which means I can do more. Like even if I'm on placement 8:30 to 4:30, after that, I'm like, you know, I've got friends coming over every day, or I'm writing, or I'm doing something else. And then when you're reviewing the day, you've only done, you know, two or three things, but it's been really, really meaningful and eventful. And so then when you look back on your like month and then now your year, I'm like, every day I did something that was actually really like things that were both kind of aligned and making me move towards my goals, but also just very like nourishing for me as well.
Can I ask both of you, how planned is your time in a day? Do you schedule your time quite heavily? Are you more relaxed about it? I'd just like to know how you plan your time.
So this is my calendar,
mm-hmm.
right? And so usually it's like meetings. Oh, this is a weird week because it's got qual. I'm teaching a short course and stuff. But I'll try and block out time.
Like, would you put into your diary walking peduncle?
So you'll see every morning, like Tuesday morning, I've got walk puppy 8 till 9.
Yep.
So not that it actually takes an hour, but just in case.
Planned your time, yeah.
And then I've got my first meeting. And then, you know, like I'll even sometimes put in, leave now to get to this place by this time.
So you've really planned your
day. I plan my day to the nth degree. Scott and I have a shared calendar, so I sometimes plan his time. So I say, Scott to walk puppy, Scott to come home at this time, Scott to do this.
All right, so we can get that our millennial has really planned her time out.
And I even plan my weekends to then have nap time, right? So so even today after the podcast, I know I'll go home and I have allowed myself enough time for a 2-hour nap.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. How about you, Luke?
I think this year I've definitely engaged a little bit more in kind of like deliberate practice about my day. But I wouldn't say that I plan it to the nth degree, but I make sure that I plan in the things that have to be done. And then kind of going back to that concept of novelty, and then I've got space in between for whatever's going on. So like most of the time when it comes to my friends coming over and cooking dinner or anything like that, that's not planned. I'm just making sure that I'm just putting all of my effort into scheduling the things that need to be done so that when they're all done, you've just got the sense of like, I can really just do anything. And I kind of think you need that balance. I don't know. No, I mean, maybe if I was as busy as Dash, I would actually need to be doing that, but I'm not yet. So,
but I think to your point, like I think when I was studying and stuff like that, that was really important. And I think it helps like retain information and grow and all of that kind of things, which, and I kind of feel like I need to go back to having that spontaneous time a little bit because I don't feel like I have enough thinking space.
Mm.
And that can sometimes mean you're reactive and not proactive in things.
Yeah.
So I have taken a lot of January off because I've recognised I need just time to think and ponder before I get into the hustling area. And it's really hard not to be able to – it's really hard during the academic year to be able to schedule in thinking time.
I've got a big smile on my face because I'm thinking, will her diary actually say in January – time off to think?
Pretty much. It will. And it will even potentially say things like 9 a.m. we're walking on the beach and 10 a.m.
we're sitting in a chair pondering.
We're pondering. And 11 a.m. we're reading this book.
I'm far more fluid with my time.
Yeah, tell me, what does yours look
like? I only put things in the calendar that are super important, like work or if I'm meeting up with somebody so I don't forget, but or an appointment, but otherwise I don't put anything else into the diary. I'm pretty fluid with it. And sometimes I wonder, I think to myself, oh, if I just plan my time a bit better, maybe I would achieve more. But I just can't run. I think because with my job, I'm running to such a schedule all the time. Like it's just bang, bang.
Patient
so
after
at
patient
work,
after
it
patient.
Really is a very strict timetable. Like I hate that because of the type of person I am. I would love it if like, you know, work could start at 8:30, but I'd love it if I could have flexibility to turn up at 9 one day if I was a bit tired of that day, but I can't. I've got to be there because I've got someone else sitting in that waiting room waiting for me. So I think because of that, I rebel against it in my personal life a bit. I go the opposite way, although I'm never late to anything. I never, never late. I'm always early to everything because I want to respect people's time. But the other thing as well is with time is they said this thing I was reading about a lot of people, because they feel they don't have the time and because they're working so hard in that they do the thing where they stay up past their bedtime.
Oh, bedtime.
Yeah, they go past their bedtime and it's almost like a revenge that I didn't have enough time in my day. And you're only punishing yourself because you sleep less. But a lot of people do that, they reckon, nowadays.
Like this idea that you stop working after X time. So say, for example, 10, you're like, I'm not going to be working anymore. And so you're like, okay, that's probably the time where you'd be wanting to wind down for bed. But you kind of think anything past 10 is actually just your me time. So you want to extend it because it means you can just spend as much time doing whatever you want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was reading a lot about that people are staying up past their bedtimes because there's a word for it. I can't remember what it is. It's revenge something, but it's not good for you. And I know I do that. I do that a lot. Like I'll stay up. Like last night, for example, I took my nephews to a basketball round robin and it started at, we were there at 6 and it went till after 10. I didn't get home.
Oh my Lord.
Yeah, because it's a knockout round. So they keep playing until, look, I'm thrilled to say my nephew's school won it. So we were there right to the end. And then I got home and it was probably close to 11. I didn't go to sleep till after 1 a.m. because I have to read. I needed downtime to talk to my lad and patting the dog. Yeah, and normally I'd be in bed by sort of 11. So it was just one of those things, you know, and I knew we were starting a bit later this morning. So I thought, oh, that's okay. But of course I woke up at the same time this morning. But yeah, that's sort of that revenge. I need that couple of hours at the end of my day to process.
I know we tend to not talk about COVID too much on this podcast, but I really feel COVID impacted my relationship with time.
Yeah.
And even now when people ask me, when did that happen? Or when did that project start? From 2020 to now, I have no concept.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm like, was that 2022, 21, 23? Like it could have been any of those years. And I just feel like everything blurred into one.
Mm.
Even though COVID is over, I still feel it. Like I still feel like I don't have anchoring points of time. I can't tell you if something happened this year or last year.
I would agree with that. It's weird when you think back to that time, and especially when you're thinking of ages of things. Like we got ourselves a COVID dog and then when people ask me how old she is, I often think, oh, God, she's 3.5 now. Because COVID just took something from us in time.
Yeah.
Just took something. It was really a weird time in Melbourne.
In Melbourne.
I mean, the most lockdown city in the world. It was just a really weird time. But time is so precious. You don't know if you're going to be here tomorrow. You don't know how good your health's going to be for that. You just... I do have the thought, and I just sound so down today about it, but I'm not, but I do have the thought about this is really important because I might not be here tomorrow. I actually think that.
Wow.
I literally think that all the time. So just enjoy it. Just go with it. This too will pass, you know. I think that quite a lot.
Whereas in this morning, this is a Sunday, we're recording on a Sunday. Yeah. I woke up at 5:30, started work at 6.
You've worked today?
Yeah, because I didn't get as much done yesterday.
Oh, wow.
And I have an app called Todoist on my phone, which I've put down all the tasks, but not related to time. Like they're just things I have to fit in at some point. So I got 2 out of the 3 things I definitely have to get done today.
Wow.
And then the rest, I was like, okay, I've got to fit it in tomorrow. So my thing of time is not, oh, I might not be here tomorrow. It's like, okay, well, what can I fit in tomorrow?
I'm similar in that way as well, I think.
But I just think, fuck it. It doesn't matter. In the whole world of things, it doesn't matter. I often think that. Not as in responsibilities that I have to get done, but yeah. I do get a bit fatalistic about it, just thinking, oh, well, it doesn't really matter.
Hey guys, it's Luke here. Thanks so much for listening to the XYZ Experiment podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please give us a like, follow, and tell your friends and family about us.